Now, our reading this morning is going to be taken from Thessalonians. We're going to read from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 from verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, Paul describes in Ephesians 1 verse 10 this consummation as the dispensation of the fullness of times. The Bible tells us that in the fullness of times, God will put all things both in heaven and in earth under the feet of Jesus Christ. And that is what we talk about when we talk about the consummation or the dispensation of the fullness of times. The first event that has to take place before the consummation can take place is that God must start up the prophetic clock once again. The prophetic clock has been put on hold. It's like a stopwatch. It's been put stop, and it has been put on hold. And the prophetic clock will be stopped until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Turn over with me, if you will, to Romans. We're going to do quite a few turning overs today, but Romans 11:25 and 26. I believe that we need to start looking once again at the end times, even though we know that there are no prophetic signs that need to take place for us to understand when the rapture is going to take place, but there are prophetic signs that tell us as we get closer to the end times. Now, one of the important things, as I said, is that God, or the consummation, will not take place until God starts working with his prophetic people once again. And his prophetic people are the ones that we're going to be looking at. In Romans 11:25, it says, "For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery." Notice that word mystery. It means secret. And Paul is writing to the body of Christ, the believers. And he says, "Lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved." Notice that. "And so all Israel shall be saved." Do we believe the word of God? Do we believe the Bible? God says in the Bible that all Israel will be saved. How can we therefore think that we are Israel? So we see that all Israel will be saved. "For it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob." Zion, or Sion, is Jerusalem. And the deliverer will come out of Jerusalem, and he'll turn away all ungodliness from Jacob. Tell me, has ungodliness been turned away from Israel? They are causing more troubles on this earth at this present time than any other nation. But that was also prophesied, that they would do that. But we see that God has put his dealings with his prophetic nation on hold. The clock has stopped until he starts dealing with them again. And this will take place when the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. The event that will start God's prophetic clock once again is the event that the Bible calls the harpazo. Harpazo. And that simply means a snatching away. It's H-A-R-P-A-Z-O. Harpazo. We, of course, call it the rapture. Now, nowhere in the Bible will you find the word rapture. But throughout church history, the Christians have used this word rapture to explain the harpazo. The harpazo simply means a snatching away. God is going to snatch away his church. God is going to snatch away his body. We're going to go and meet the Lord in the air. Now, there are different teachings on the rapture. And this is something that we need to have a look at. There are different teachings on the rapture. There are some people that teach a pre-tribulation rapture. There are some people that teach a mid-tribulation rapture. And there are some people that teach a post-tribulation rapture. Now, for the second two to work, the mid-tribulation and the post-tribulation rapture to work, you have to believe that you are spiritual Israel. Because the mid-tribulation teaching, the people get their teaching from the fact that what we read in 1 Thessalonians about that the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the trump of God. They say that trump of God is the seventh trumpet in the middle of the tribulation. They also say that the first 3.5 years of the tribulation is not going to be wrath. And therefore Christians will go through the first 3.5 years of tribulation and only be snatched away in the middle of the tribulation, because when the trump of God sounds, that's the seventh trumpet, then we'll all rise up. They also say that the two preachers that get killed in the tribulation is a symbolic of the church, and they are caught up to God in the heaven, and that symbolizes the rapture. Well, as we all know, the trumpets never refer to the body of Christ. Nowhere will you find in Paul's writings anything about a trumpet being blown for the body of Christ. Yet the whole of the Old Testament is full of trumpets, because the nation of Israel are trumpet bound. You've all seen those Jewish people that take the ram's horn and they blow it. That's all part of a Jewish tradition. And therefore, that trumpet in the middle of the 7 years of tribulation has to do with the nation of Israel. What's to think about this? When's the Antichrist going to be revealed? Not as the Antichrist, but when is he going to come on the scene? He's going to come on the scene at the beginning of the tribulation. And people are going to receive the mark of the beast on their hand. Do you think a righteous, just God will put Christians through that trauma? I've said it before to somebody, and I'll say it again now. If my child of 2-year-old is dying of starvation, and all it requires is for me to receive the mark of the beast on my hand, I'm going to receive it. Because I'm not going to let my child die. And God does not expect his people to let their children die. Because what does God teach? That if you have to look after your own family, you have to protect your own family. So therefore, that's another reason. But the trumpet that they are referring to has to do with the nation of Israel. It's got nothing to do with the church. And therefore, we need to understand that the mid-tribulation, the only way it can work is if you believe that we are spiritual Israel. But then, of course, we have the rapture at the end of the tribulation. People, they say, well, the Bible says that he that endures to the end shall be saved. Anybody tell me where I can find that reading? Matthew 24. If you don't mind turning over to Matthew 24 with me as well. Matthew 24, because I think it's important for us to have a look at that. So we have the pre-trib, the mid-trib, and of course the post-trib. And the people that believe in the post-tribulation use Matthew 24 for their justification. Matthew 24, verse 1. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the building of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise up against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. That is talking about the great tribulation. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because of iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end shall be saved. Who was Jesus speaking to? He is speaking to his disciples, who were the elect, who were the chosen. There was no Gentile included at all. In other words, if you actually look at what we read there, it says, and nations shall turn against you. The nations shall hate you. They will turn against you. So it's talking about the nation of Israel. And this, verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come. Notice what gospel will be preached before the end comes? The gospel of the kingdom. What is the gospel of the kingdom? 1,000 years of peace on earth. What was Jesus and his disciples doing while Jesus was on earth? They were walking around, healing the sick, raising the dead. They were living in a kingdom. And that's the gospel of the kingdom. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall raise the dead. They shall speak with new tongues. That's the kingdom message. And that's going to happen in the 1,000 years of peace. Then one more thing that I just want to point out to you as well in verse 15. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Let them that be in Judea flee to the mountains. Notice, when you see the abomination of desolation standing in the holy place, that is the Antichrist. Daniel spoke about the Antichrist standing in the temple and saying, I am God. When you see that, Jerusalem, flee into the mountains. Don't stay here because you're going to be persecuted. You're going to be attacked. They're going to want to kill you. Flee into the mountains. Then let them which be in Judea flee to the mountains. And him which is on the housetop, let him not come down and take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them which are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world, to this time, no, never, ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there shall no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. And if any man say unto you, lo, yea is the Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall rise many false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they should deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east, and shineth even unto the west, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man. Notice that when Christ returns at the end of the tribulation, everybody will see him. As this lightning shines from the east unto the west, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man. Verse 31. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds and from the one end of heaven to the other. Notice that. Who does he send? He sends an angel to gather the elect from the four winds. Not so. What does Thessalonians say? For the Lord himself shall descend. Not an angel. The Lord himself is coming to get the church. The Lord himself is coming to get his body. But the elect, the nation of Israel, the believers, God is going to send an angel to draw them. And in 1948, the nation of Israel started to come back to Israel. God is gathering his people back to Israel, slowly but surely. Verse 35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of the day and the hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as in the days of Noah were, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in the days of Noah were before the flood, they shall be eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also be the coming of the Son of Man. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other shall be left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. Yeah, we have it. The rapture is going to take place at the end. There you have it. Two shall be in the field, one shall be taken, one shall be left. Two shall be on the rooftop, one shall be taken, the other shall be left. People say, well, there you got the rapture. Sorry, people, it's not the rapture. It's the destruction of people. What happened in the days of Noah? Noah and his family were building the ark. Everybody laughed at them. They went into the ark. The ark's door was closed. The flood came and took away the people. In other words, destroyed the people. That's what it says there. It says, as in the days of Noah, shall so be the coming of the Son of Man. And knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall be the coming of the Son of Man. People, we need to understand when we read the scriptures, we need to read what it says, not what we think it says. That's not talking about the rapture. That is talking about destroying those people that are against the nation of Israel. And when there will be two in the field, one will be taken, one will be left. Because why is the one left? Because they were kind to Israel. Remember in chapter 25, you can go and read it. Jesus says to the people, get away from me, I never knew you. But Lord, we prophesied in your name. He says, you didn't do to my brethren. When they were hungry, when they were in jail, when they needed food, you didn't do anything for them. And the others, the sheep nations, are the ones that gave food to the nation of Israel, who cared for the nation of Israel. That's what we need to understand. Now, many people today are going out and taking care of Israel and that, thinking that that's going to make them better in the sight of God as Christians. It's not talking about that. It's talking about during the tribulation. During the 7 years of tribulation, when the whole of the world turns against the nation of Israel, there are going to be certain people that are going to take care of those people. And not you as an individual, a nation. There might be people in that nation that hated the Jews, but because that nation helped the nation of Israel, that nation will be saved and all those people will be saved. And I don't mean saved in the sense of going to heaven, I mean saved to live on earth with Christ. So what we need to understand that the post-tribulation rapture that people get out of Matthew 24 has nothing to do with the rapture. It has to do with a destruction. But also, just in a logical sense, think about it. Why would the Lord come halfway down from heaven, call the people up to him, and then come the rest of the way down to the heaven, to earth? Why not just leave the people on earth? Why call him halfway up and then bring him down immediately? So we see there are flaws in that thing. So as dispensationalists, we believe in the pre-tribulation rapture, because that is what we believe, what the Bible teaches. That if we carry on in Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 5 teaches us that we as Christians will not face wrath. We will not be exposed to the wrath of God, because we've accepted Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, and therefore because we've accepted that, we will not be judged, because the great tribulation is the judgment of this world. And we will be taken out of this world before that. Having said that, I would like us now to have a look at our reading for today, which is 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13 to 18. So we need to understand that if you believe in a mid-tribulation or post-tribulation rapture, it can only work if you believe that God has set the nation of Israel aside and the church has become Israel now. Otherwise, they cannot work. Therefore, we subscribe to a pre-tribulation rapture. But verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Now that word asleep there, many people have been led to believe in soul sleep because of that word asleep there. But in the original, the word for asleep there is the word koi mayo, which simply means to decease or to be dead. And Paul is trying to comfort the people that he's writing to by telling them that you will not prevent those which have died physically when the Lord Jesus Christ comes to be raptured. The people that he was writing to were so concerned that these people that had died physically were not going to go in the rapture. You must understand that Paul's teaching of the rapture, they expected the rapture to happen at any time. They believed in their lifetime the Lord was going to come back and rapture them. And people that had died were worried that their family and their friends that loved the Lord that had died were not going to take part of the rapture. But Paul says to them that they would take part. Look at the next verse, verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so also them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Notice, he puts their mind at ease. He tells them that God will bring those people that have died. He will bring them with him. And verse 15 is the most important of all. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Notice Paul's telling them that this is the word of the Lord. What greater guarantee can we have than the word of the Lord Jesus Christ himself? The Lord Jesus Christ told Paul that don't worry about them. They will be taken as well. Paul's not just giving some sort of comfort just to please somebody or something that he'd thought up. No, the Lord himself told him this. The Lord said to him that those that remain alive unto the coming of the Lord will not prevent them which are dead from seeing God. One of the greatest promises in the Bible is that you and I will see the Lord in the flesh. This is what kept Job going. Remember when Job sat on the ash heap and he was scraping himself with a sword? He says, though after my skin the worms destroy this flesh of mine, I will still see God in the flesh. Because he believed in the literal resurrection of the body. And therefore, Paul's writing to these Thessalonians and he says, don't be afraid. Comfort one another with these words. We will not prevent them that are dead from seeing the Lord in the flesh. Because the dead shall rise first, then we which remain alive. Let's look at verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. As I said earlier, when we were looking at Matthew 24, notice who comes to fetch us. Not some angel, but the Lord himself. Jesus Christ, the great creator, the creator of the universe, leaves his glory of heaven once more, and he comes to fetch us. But the dead will rise first. One of the biggest misconceptions that many people have about the rapture is that the rapture is going to take place secretly. Nowhere in Scripture does it tell us that the rapture will take place secretly. It's the timing of the rapture that is a secret. That's what you need to understand. The timing of the rapture is a secret. There is no prophetic event that must take place before the rapture can take place, because the rapture is part of the mystery. We are the dispensation of grace is a mystery. It was hidden in God from the foundation of the world. Not one of the prophets knew about it. Not the 12 disciples knew about it. None of them knew about it until God revealed it to the Apostle Paul. And when God revealed it to the Apostle Paul, then it was revealed to all people. The unveiling of the secret, and everybody could see it. And this is what Paul says here too. This is a mystery. It's a secret when it is going to happen. Nobody knows when it can happen. It can happen today. It could happen in 100 years' time. It could happen in 1,000 years' time. Nobody knows when it's going to happen. The rapture can take place any time. Because when the fullness of the Gentiles become in, then the rapture will take place and the body of Christ will be taken away. Can you imagine it? Think about this. The graves are going to open. What's it going to look like in a cemetery? Of course everybody's going to know something's happened, because all the graves are going to be opened. The bus driver's driving along and suddenly he goes and the bus crashes into the wall. They're going to know it happened. It's not going to be some secret and nobody's going to know about it and going to just carry on living and say, oh, well, what happened to Alan? Maybe he's moved or something like that. They're going to know. The rapture is not a secret that nobody knows about. But the timing of the rapture is a secret. Nobody knows when that will take place. And of course, you've got an airline pilot. Maybe with the airline pilot won't be so bad because they've got autopilots as well, you know. But you've got an airline pilot disappearing. What's going to happen to that plane? I was thinking about a boat, but on a boat there's enough time for somebody to get up there and take hold of the helm and that. But, you know, a taxi driver driving along and he's gone. That car's going to crash. Things are going to happen in this world and people are not going to understand it. Or so we think. Because you see, that's what people have taught us over the years, that it's some secret event that takes place that nobody knows about. Let me tell you what everybody's going to know about it. They're not going to know what it is, but they're going to know it's happened. Some people are going to think that aliens have invaded us and snatched us all away. You know, those people that believe that there's life out there and higher life than us, and they're going to come and take us away. I don't know what the evolutions are going to believe. Maybe they're going to say, oh, well, this is the quantum leap where we change from normal people to super natural people. I don't know who of you keep your eye on the different things that are going on around the world, but 10 years ago there was a great big event where people said, well, what we need to do is we need to pray for the third wave of love to come in and get rid of all these negative people that are in the church that talk about God and that type of thing. We need to get away from God and believe that God is love, and with the third wave of love will come in. And that's what they're going to tell the people, that these things have happened. But let's move on. But then we see in verse 17, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. When last have we comforted one another with these words? The rapture is going to take place, and we're going to meet the Lord in the air. Comfort one another with these words. Let's not be concerned about what happens on a daily basis. Yes, we might not feel too well. Yes, things are wrong. But let's comfort one another. Yes, that's bad, but don't forget we're going to go to meet the Lord in the air. Isn't that going to be wonderful? So therefore, the rapture is the first event that must take place before the prophetic clock starts ticking again. But how will the prophetic clock start ticking again? I'm going to ask you to turn to one more chapter and we'll finish off with this. It's Romans chapter 11. And we're going to look at verse 7 to verse 15. I think this is one of the things that is very seldom spoken about, but I think it's one of the most important areas regarding the rapture. Romans 11, verse 7. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. Remember, who are the election? The 12 disciples, the 5,000 that were saved on the day of Pentecost, plus all those that were added to the church on a daily basis. They were the election. They received it. They understood it. Verse 8. According as it is written, God has given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see and ears that they should not hear unto this day. And David saith, let their table be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see, and bow down their back always. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation is come to the Gentiles to provoke them to jealousy. Notice that. Through their fall, salvation has come to the Gentiles. What is salvation? Salvation is not accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. That sounds very funny, but that's not complete salvation. That's only partial salvation. What does this world and our bodies and everything groan for? The coming of the Lord. Salvation will take place when the dead in Christ shall rise first and shall meet the Lord in the air. Then we which remain shall be caught up to be with the Lord in the air. That is salvation. Yes, you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you are destined for heaven. But tell me, is your life any better here on earth than what it was before you knew the Lord as Savior? In a way, yes, because we live better lives, but we still face the aches and the pains, and the body still gets old, and Am I right, Mom? Yes, we all know about it. We still suffer. We still have a hard time. But when the body is taken to be with the Lord, there'll be no more pain, no more suffering. There'll be no more hurt. There'll be no more tears. There'll be no more heartache. Everything will be beautiful. That's salvation. And when that takes place, we will provoke the Jews to jealousy. When they see the rapture take place, they're going to realize that him whom we crucified is the Lord. Now, does that mean the whole of Israel is going to realize it straight away? No, of course not. But the 144,000 will. The 144,000 will go out and they'll start preaching this kingdom. Remember Jesus Christ that we crucified 2,000 years ago that these Christians have been talking about? Well, they told the truth. Look, it's happened. The rapture's taken place. They've gone. And they will start the prophetic clock once again. And then the kingdom will start getting preached once again throughout the whole world. And when this gospel of the kingdom has been preached throughout the whole world, then shall the end come. Then the consummation will take place. So the first event that has to take place is the rapture. We don't know when it's going to happen, because that date that it's going to happen is a secret. You and I don't know when it's going to happen. It could happen today, it could happen tomorrow, it could happen in 100 years' time. But it's going to happen. And who's going to be saved? All those who have accepted that Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior by faith and not of works, lest any man should boast. Are our families, are our friends going to be saved? That's the question we have to ask ourselves. That's got to be our response. Have you accepted that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior? Have you accepted that he died for your sins, that he was buried and he rose again the third day? If you have, you're saved. You're going to go be part of that rapture. But if you don't believe that, you're not going to be part of that rapture. If you're basing your salvation on going to church every Sunday, if you're basing your salvation on reading your Bible, if you're basing your salvation on saying prayers, if you're basing your salvation on being baptized, you're not going to go to heaven. If you're basing your salvation on your good works, you're not going to go to heaven. You're not going to be caught up with the rapture. But if you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, as the scriptures declare, you will be saved. That's what the Bible says, not what the preacher says, what the Bible says. And therefore, that's what we need to get the message out there. People, stop trusting in your church. Stop trusting in your pastor. Stop trusting in your works. Stop trusting in your baptisms. Stop trusting in all those things. Trust in the Bible. And the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourself. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. You know, I pray that I'm wrong. But those people that are basing their salvation on their works will not get into heaven as far as I can see. Because if you say that you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins, that he was buried and he rose again the third day, and you say you are saved because of that, but yet you still go and you're forced to do something else, do you believe that? That's the question you have to ask yourself. That's why Paul writes, not of works, lest any man should boast. I've said it before and you've all heard me say it. Are you a Christian? I'm a Presbyterian. Are you a Christian? I'm a Catholic. Are you a Christian? I go to church. Are you a Christian? I've been baptized. Are you a Christian? I read my Bible. That's not the answer. Are you a Christian? Yes. Why are you a Christian? Because Jesus Christ died for my sins on the cross of Calvary. He was buried. He rose again the third day. Therefore, I am a Christian. That's what it says, the Bible. And the more we emphasize that with people, the greater their reward will be. We mentioned it yesterday about the crowns. What are our crowns going to be when we get into heaven? All the people we spoke to. That's my crown. That's my crown. That's my crown. That's my crown. Lord, I put them at your feet. They are your body now. Let's get enthusiastic about this message once again. Because it is this message that is the only message for salvation. Notice what Paul says. All those in Asia Minor had left him. But he stood alone. How can somebody leave Paul if that is the message of salvation? Because they'd been taken, deceived, and gone a different road. people are being drawn away from different truths into signs and wonders. And what will be the sign of Satan's coming? It will be all signs and lying wonders. Let us not be deceived, but let us stand for the truth.